Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. Today's show, we have a series about three friends that run a detective agency. Volume 2 of I Love a Mystery. The series ran from 1939 to 1944. And was so popular that once it ended, it got a sequel series called I Love Adventure. Stand by for that one. If you enjoy this episode, please check out Volume 1 in the archives. Besides for that, June will be the 1-year anniversary of this podcast. So to do something fun, I would like to do a Q&A. So between now and the end of May, any questions that you want to ask, feel free to send them to me. Through my email, mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com, through Twitter at mysteryfreak, F-R-E-Q, Instagram at mysteryfrequency, or in the comments on Spotify. And in the first week of June, I'll answer some of those questions in the beginning of the episodes. And speaking of Spotify, be sure to check out the polls that I run to get feedback about the show. And as always, if you could follow the podcast, review it if you can, and rate the podcast. The more 5-star ratings I get, the more this podcast will show up on the recommendation screen of podcast platformers. And lastly, check out the descriptions below to find links to everything associated with the show. And with that, please enjoy I Love a Mystery, Volume 2.
I Love a Mystery, a Carlton E. Morse audio novel featuring Jack, Doc, and Reggie, specialists in crime and adventure. Now following the northwest trail of a missing millionaire, a killer cougar, and the Phantom Castle. This is Fred Foy introducing Jim Harmon's presentation of Les Tremain and Tony Clay in an original Carlton Morse thriller, The Fear That Creeps Like a Cat. O'clock in the morning at the landing dock of the tiny hamlet of Port Forest, somewhere up the coast from Seattle, near the Canadian border. In their search for Alexander Archer, the million-dollar corpse, the three comrades, Jack, Doc, and Reggie, have only now arrived at Port Forest. They were brought here in a tiny motor launch operated by Frenchie and his daughter Maria. Last night, the trio were kidnapped by gangsters trying to prevent them from finding Archer and were carried out into Puget Sound in a small boat. The boat was struck in the dark by a freighter and Jack, Doc, and Reggie thrown into the water. They were forced to shed all their clothes to keep afloat. That's how Frenchie and Maria found them and rescued them, without a stitch between the three of them. Frenchie gave them each a blanket, and now here they are, docked at Port Forest at the break of dawn, shivering in their blankets.
Chilly.
Where's Frenchie and that good-looking daughter here?
Down that little hole they call the cabin.
Well, doggone it, if there's any cabin, we should have it. We're the ones without clothes.
Three of us couldn't possibly get in it.
Well, two of us could. Look at the hair on my legs. Rose and stiff. Break them off like icicles.
Well, anyway, it's getting light enough so we can see where they are.
So that's Port Forest.
Where's Port Forest?
Well, at least there's a few buildings scattered about up there.
Don't look very appetizing to me.
Well, don't forget, we're a long way from civilization. Port Forest is the last outpost on the edge of the wilderness.
Hey there, Maria. Up on deck with you. Those fellas, she pretty hungry, I bet you.
Huh. What's he yelling about?
He said he bet we were hungry.
Of course we're hungry.
Well, when you look what's coming.
Hey, food.
You betcha my life, food. Maria, she one good cook.
I think you need something very hot to warm you up, eh?
Oh, you never said a truer word, Maria.
Then we all gather around. Plenty tea, plenty hot bread, plenty meat.
Boy, howdy. Excuse my scanty panties, but I'm hungry.
Oui, I'm quite used to you three in these blankets. Papa, don't eat so fast.
Yeah, Maria, she very snooty young lady. She go to convent.
Ah, Reggie, did you ever taste anything so good in your life?
A bit all right at that.
You bet your Sunday britches it's all right.
You talk about the britches?
You're darn tootin' we are. I swear to my grandma, I never did know before how much comfort a pair of pants was to a fella.
When we have finished eating, Papa and I will go to the store and buy you some more.
You mean there's a store up yonder?
Oh, one fine store. She got everything in the world. That store, everything.
This is Port Forest, isn't it?
Sure thing.
Sure don't look like much. What's up there?
Big sawmill behind those hills. Big general store. Three liquor stores for the lumberjacks when they come into town on Saturday night.
Oh, I see.
Plenty liquor, plenty girls. Plenty fun on Saturday night, you betcha my life.
Papa. We do not stay here Saturday night.
Oh, by God. What you mean we do not stay here Saturday night?
No. We put out from shore on this boat Saturday night.
Ah, that is woman for you. I send you to convent, and now you say I have no fun on Saturday night.
You know, this is a beautiful little cove, protected from the ocean.
Oh, plenty deep water, too. Big lumber schooner. She come right up to dock here.
I say, then Port Forest is simply a mill town.
That it is. All the men are at the mill or in the woods now.
Are there any other towns in this vicinity?
Not for maybe 100 miles in any direction.
Hey, this place is 100 miles from any town?
And that is not all. By boat. It is only one way to get in here.
I say we are isolated. 100 miles from the nearest town and can only get in here by boat.
You wasn't kidding, Jack, when you said we was on the fringe of the wilderness.
Papa, we go now, eh?
Yeah, Maria. There's still tea in the pot?
No. We leave that for these three.
Here, there's plenty more.
No. We go buy you britches. Come, Papa.
What you do with a girl like that? She thinks she's my boss, maybe, eh?
Well, wait a minute. You want some money.
Huh? Well, you got the money?
Yes. I managed to save our grubstake. How much will it take?
For three outfits? $50.
Papa.
Well, for three outfits, $50.
Monsieur. You give me $25, I will bring you back to the office.
Hey, there's a lot of difference.
Yeah, you see? That's what I get for sending these girls to convent.
Here you are, Maria.
Oui. We will not be long. Come along, Papa.
Yes, yeah, someday I show you who's boss here, I think.
I'll be smelly name if that old boy wasn't going to charge us double.
Oh, we'll be all right as long as we have Maria to keep him in line.
Doggone. Ain't life wonderful?
Full stomach and pretty girl, eh, Doc?
Bet you life. There ain't nothing else a fella could want.
I'm beginning to get the lay of the land. If Alexander Archer is in this part of the world, and Port Forest is 100 miles from the nearest civilization, then he's got to come here for his supplies.
Hey, then all we got to do is stick around Port Forest until he comes in to buy something.
No. It isn't going to be that easy.
Why not?
Well, first, he probably buys supplies for 6 months at a time. And then he probably doesn't come in Port Forest himself.
You think he don't?
Not if he's really in hiding. Even in this out-of-the-way place, someone might spot him. At least he'd rouse curiosity and people would talk.
Then we're just going to have to track him down.
Yeah, looks like it. I've got one hunch. It may not turn out if I can get well enough acquainted with the storekeeper up there...
to get him to let me look at his books for the past 6 months.
Quite. Find all the people who have bought large amounts of groceries during the past year.
Might lead to something.
Hey, fella, what about the gang that's been trying to stop us? You think we throw them off a trail?
No, that's too much to hope for.
What you mean, too much? Shucks. Me, I hope we ain't.
You hope we haven't lost them?
Of course I do. The little set-to we had with them in Seattle and Puget Sound last night wasn't even a good beginning.
Oh, feeling your oats, huh?
Well, all I got to say is, get me a pair of breeches I can put on and then let the fireworks start.
Jack, I say, someone's coming down the dock.
Probably one of the natives.
Huh? Where? Hey, well, anyway, it's a female native.
Look at Doc's ears prick up.
Hope she's worth a looking at. Hope she comes down here where we can get a good look at her.
You're just full of hope, aren't you?
Oh, got on clothes that we look like this part of the country. Yep, she's a-coming this way. Hey, Jack, why don't you look?
Isn't one girl crazy monkey in this crowd enough?
How do you go about meeting a new girl dressed in a blanket?
She's dressed in a blanket?
No, but I am. Worse luck. Hey, Jack, I can see your face.
No.
Yes, I can. You know who she is?
No. Do you?
You're doggone right I do. She's Linda Joyce.
What's that?
As sure as I'm a-standing here barefooted, it's that little old female we met back in that Seattle hotel.
Well, there we are.
What you mean, there we are?
You asked if we were still being trailed by Cooper and his gang. It looks like they got here ahead of us.
Man, oh man, ain't we got fun.
If she didn't know it was us before, she recognizes us now.
Yeah. Howdy, honey.
Well, boys, welcome to Port Forest.
Yes, a great place, isn't it?
Wonderful country. But aren't you boys a trifle informal?
What you mean, informal? Ain't this Indian country?
So I've heard.
Well, ain't you never heard when in Italy do like the Italians do?
I see. So you've taken to your blankets.
That's right. What you leaning up down that rail for? Why don't you come down and be more sociable?
Why not? Oh, wait a minute first, though. You promise not to try and take me prisoner again?
Of course not. Will we, Jack?
No, we're not in the mood.
All right. Here I come.
Look out you don't slip. Let that plank's full of splinters.
There.
Sit down. Have a cup of tea.
No, thanks. Too bad you boys left the hotel in Seattle in such a hurry. I was hoping to see more of you.
No kidding.
Really?
Won't seeing more of us up here at Fort Forest be just as well?
Just as well.
I suppose our old friend Richard Cooper is up here too, huh?
Oh, sure, he's here.
Looky, Linda, that old grandpa ain't really your father, is he?
Of course not. We did a beautiful father and daughter act, though, didn't we?
Yeah, almost had me in tears. Cooper had plenty of gall, though, coming into our room the second time and trying to tell us that Jeanette Archer was another of his daughters.
Well, you'll have to give him credit for trying.
Well, she's safe from your gang, anyway. The police will take care of her.
Is that so?
I think so.
But I say, Miss Joyce, who is Jeanette Archer? What relation is she to Alexander Archer?
You don't know?
No, the insurance company said nothing to us about any relative by that name.
You want to make a deal?
Let's hear what it is first.
I'll tell you who Jeanette Archer is if you tell me what became of the three men who took you out into the Sound in that other launch last night.
You mean, you're admitting that you were in on that deal to try to murder us?
All's fair in love and war.
That wasn't war. That was murder.
Apparently only attempted murder. At least the three of you seem to be in fairly good condition this morning.
What you mean, good condition? We ain't got a stitch of clothes to our name.
Then you admit that Cooper and you and the rest of your gang will go to any limits to get rid of us?
We're getting away from the subject. What became of the three men who took you out?
They're dead.
You murdered them?
Don't make me laugh.
You won't laugh very long if you killed those men.
All right. We've told you what happened to them. Who is Jeanette Archer?
She was a plant. Cooper had her put on that feigning act to get you in the room and listen to your conversation while you thought she was unconscious.
I say, she was one of the gang?
Certainly.
Hold there! Breeches for monsieur.
Hey, here comes Frenchie and Maria.
What's your hurry, Linda?
I've stayed too long now. Papa and I buy out this store. Oh, who is this woman?
Hello, Frenchie.
What you do on this boat?
Little cat.
You want me to scratch your eyes out? You get off this boat!
Hold everything. I'm going.
Get off, get off! I am so mad I kill you!
Hey, Maria! Hold it, honey.
That woman is a bad woman. I will not have her on my boat.
She's a little spitfire, boys. You're welcome to her.
The bad name. The witch. The she thing.
Hey, what's the matter with her, Frenchie? What's she got to be so wild about?
She say all women in Port Forest is bad women. She do not like bad women very much, I can tell you that.
It is not funny. She come back. I kill her dead. She bad.
You bet she's bad, Maria. Frenchie, watch out for her and for anybody you see with her.
What I do is...
Because she's part of the gang worth fighting. She's one of those who tried to have us killed last night.
By God, she do that?
And Doc, Reggie, she lied about Jeanette Archer.
I say, you know that?
Certainly. I'm enough of a doctor to know that that girl wasn't shamming. She was really unconscious.
Boy, howdy. We really have got a mess of fighting to do, ain't we?
Adventures of Jack, Doc, and Reggie have come to you in I Love a Mystery. Created and written by Carlton E. Morse. Scripts copyrighted by Morsel Co. Incorporated. Produced and directed by story editor Jim Harmon. Featuring Les Tremaine as Jack Packard and Tony Clay as Doc Long. Consultants Frank Brzee and David Lloyd. Your announcer, Fred Foy. This presentation has come from Hollywood. I Love a Mystery. A Carlton E. Morse audio novel featuring Jack, Doc, and Reggie, specialists in crime and adventure. Now following the Northwest Trail of a missing millionaire, a killer cougar, and the Phantom Castle. This is Fred Foy introducing Jim Harmon's presentation of Les Tremaine and Tony Clay in an original Carlton Morse thriller, The Fear That Creeps Like a Cat. O'clock in the morning at Port Forest, a tiny lumber milling hamlet somewhere up the coast from Seattle near the Canadian border. Jack, Doc, and Reggie's search for the missing man, declared by his estate to be dead, is being hampered on every hand by a well-organized gang of men and women. The three comrades have fought their way up the coast to Port Forest, the only settlement within 100 miles in any direction and approachable only by water. Their only allies in this isolated settlement are Frenchie, who brought them here in his fishing launch, and his daughter Maria. Frenchie told the trio to meet him at the general store.
Here she come now, boy. How there, fellows?
Well, here we are, Frenchie.
Where Maria? She do not come?
No. She said she'd stay on the launch.
Oh, she mighty fine girl, that Maria. Oh, bull, those fellows I would tell you about. This one. She's Packard, Jack Packard.
How are you, Bull?
Any friend of French's is a friend of mine.
Thank you.
This here, she Doc Long.
And welcome you are.
Might have done nice of you to say so, Bull, old fella. And this here's Reggie York.
Hey, now, wait a minute. No. Who doing this, you or me?
Sorry, friend.
You betcha. Bull, white-haired kid, she is Reggie York.
How do you do, Bull? Well, sonny, quite a lad you are, too.
And that one, she got muscles. Bull, look out for her.
Well, what about it, boys? Pour you like a little nip?
Oh, I'm afraid not, Bull. A little too early in the morning.
Early in the morning, late at night. It's good whiskey. That's right, Frenchie, huh?
You betcha my life.
Oh, I haven't any doubt of that. But right now, Bull, I'm trying to get some information.
Well, you came to the right place, my boy. Nothing that's ever happened in Port Forest, or nothing that's going to happen, gets away from Bull McGinnis. I know every man, woman, and child in these woods for 50 miles around.
Well, then you're just the man we want to talk to.
And what is it you'd be wanting? Here, set yourselves up on the counter and be comfortable.
Yeah, thanks. Do you keep an account book of the sales in your store?
Carrie does.
Who's Carrie?
Carrie's me wife. And be careful how you speak her name, or you'll have her down on this mop and broom handle.
She nothing to laugh at, that Carrie. She won holy terror.
Hey, you talk about Bull's wife here like that?
Carrie's as fine a set of a woman as ever wore a skirt. But I will admit a little mite handy with a broom handle. Bless our cantankerous soul.
I say.
Well, look, Bull. I'm very anxious to get a look at those books.
You ain't got a Chinaman's chance, my boy.
Why not?
Carrie just won't have it.
Couldn't you get them for us without her knowing it?
Oh, by God, you ask Bull to put his head in the lion's mouth. You ask him to face Carrie McGinnis?
Hey, she ain't as bad as that.
Not a chance, me lad, not a chance.
Well, now, how about telling us where they are and let us take care of getting them?
What I tell you, Bull, these boys, she's not afraid of anything.
Hey, looky, Jack. Bull here says he knows everything that's going on around here. Maybe he could tell us what we want to know about looking at the books.
Maybe so. How about it, Bull? Do you remember making any large sales of groceries and supplies during the past 6 months?
Well, lots of them.
But I mean really big orders. Perhaps even 6 months' rations.
There's nothing out of the usual. Prospectors, trappers, all sorts of folks living off from Port Forest get their stuff here. Only place they can get it.
I say, this isn't going to be as easy as we thought.
Well, I guess that's that. Oh, wait a minute. You say you know everyone up in these parts?
I pride myself on it.
Well, do you recall any stranger laying in heavy supplies?
Why, no, I can't say that I have.
Oh, my goodness!
Oh, there she blows! Oh, we're sunk, all hands, and the captain.
Bull McGinnis, you know, Count Irishman.
Oh, yes, me darling.
Drinking up our stock of liquor.
Well, bless your love.
At this time in the morning.
You can smell me breath.
I'll smell your breath with a whack of my broom handle.
Harry, me love.
Whoopee!
Outside, all of you. Scum, carrion, no good.
Oh, I say.
Ha, whoopee, every man for himself.
That's a mean broom handle.
This is far enough, boys.
What? This ain't half far enough.
Scalawags, now you see that you keep outside of this store.
I say, she bally near broke that broom over my head.
That's a pretty poor footwork, Rich.
Man, what a woman. Where'd Frenchie go?
He kept running. He must be down to the launch by this time.
Doggone. Hey, Bo, come here.
Yeah, it's all right, boys. Everything's under control now.
Boy, when your little old wife goes to work, she means business, don't she?
Best temper I've seen her in a week. I only got one black eye.
Yeah, you usually get two?
Yeah, but what's it all about, Bull? What do we do to make her so angry?
I've been living with that woman for 20 years now, and I still don't know what riles her.
Well, she sure was riled. No kidding about that.
Well, let's get back to business, shall we?
You see what I mean about getting the account books for you?
You betcha. And we don't blame you none, either.
Hasn't there anything happened that you thought was queer?
Hey, wait a minute.
Hey, you got something?
Wait a minute now. Now, about 3 months ago...
Yes?
Jake Sims, yes, Jake Sims, come in here with a wad of money and bought enough supplies to stuff an elephant.
Who's Jake Sims?
No count bum. Lives on a log hut over next to the timber, down at the end of the street.
But I say, what was strange about that?
Because Jake Sims don't never work, and he's always broke.
And yet... He suddenly comes in and buys a lot of supplies?
Enough for a fella to live like a king for, 5 or 6 months.
He bought them for himself?
That's just it. Them supplies melted away. After he bought them, he went on a week's drunk, and since then he's been begging meals around just like he used to.
In other words, he bought the supplies for someone else and got drunk on the money paid him for doing it.
Well, that's the way I figure it, yeah.
Bull, where can we find Jake Sims now?
Up at his place. He never gets up before noon.
Well, just where is it?
Well, not far. Just go to the end of the street here. Over across that stoppage, you'll see a log hut. And that's it.
Thanks, Bull. If you see Frenchy again, tell him we'll be back at the launch in half an hour or so.
Yeah, stop by the store on your way back. I'd like to buy you a drink.
With Mother McGinnis and a broom standing by? Not me, fella.
Whoosh, you take it too much to heart. Carrie's the soul of hospitality.
Well, she sure got a funny way of showing it. Shall we go, Jack?
Yeah, just a minute. Bull, have you noticed any strangers in Port Forest the last day or so?
Nope, I can't say I have. That is, except them show folks.
Show folks?
Yeah, they're going to put on a show down at the town hall next week. Couple of women. Half a dozen actor fellas. They're staying down at the King Charles Hotel.
Thanks. We'll be seeing you later, Bull.
Well, don't forget to stop by on your way back.
I say, Jack, actors up here?
I suppose it's possible.
It might be possible, but I'll bet money they're not. It's Cooper and his gang just as sure as shooting fish.
We'll have a look as soon as we've talked to Jake Sims.
Well, here we are at the end of the street.
Some street. Just one good block long. And weeds are growing up in the middle of it.
There's a log hut.
Huh? Where?
Over there, where the timber line begins.
I say, this path looks like it might lead over to...
Okay, let's go. Man, will you look at them stumps. There sure have been some big trees cut down around here.
Mm-hmm.
And all going to waste.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, some mighty good burning wood for somebody's fireplace. Look at that. Everywhere.
Wood to burn, huh, Doc?
Okay. What do you think about this fella, Jake Sims, anyway, Jack?
He may be our man, all right.
I say, it looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, buying all them supplies.
Hold it. We're getting too close.
Yeah.
Jove, what a pigsty.
Darned if Jake Sims ain't white trash of the worst sort.
What'd you expect? Bull said he was drunk all the time.
Yeah, all this pretty country and a fella has to come along and make this kind of a stinkhole in it.
Well, let's see if he's in. Hey, Jake. Jake Sims.
Probably sleeping off a binge. Why don't we just bust in?
Might as well. There's no lock on the door.
Oh, push her open.
Is he in there?
Can't see him. We're this far, let's go on in.
Sure.
Doesn't seem to be... Jack,
look there behind the bed.
Oh, I say.
Quick, move the bed away. That's enough. Too late. He's dead.
Stabbed in the back with a Bowie knife.
Ghastly.
Well, there's one thing. We were on the right track. But the Cooper gang got here ahead of us.
Adventures of Jack, Doc, and Reggie have come to you in I Love a Mystery. Created and written by Carlton E. Morse. Script copyrighted by Morsel Co. Incorporated. Produced and directed by story editor Jim Harmon. Featuring Les Tremaine as Jack Packard and Tony Clay as Doc Long. Consultants Frank Brzee and David Lloyd. Your announcer, Fred Foy. This presentation has come from Hollywood.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? And sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
I love a mystery. A Carlton E. Morse audio novel featuring Jack, Doc, and Reggie, specialists in crime and adventure. Now following the Northwest Trail of a missing millionaire, a killer cougar, and the Phantom Castle. This is Fred Foy introducing Jim Harmon's presentation of Les Tremaine and Tony Clay in an original Carlton Morse thriller, The Fear That Creeps Like a Cat. In the morning in the little sawmill town of Port Forest, somewhere up the coast from Seattle near the Canadian border. Their manhunt has taken them to the edge of the great Northwest wilderness, the last outpost of which is the little logging town of Port Forest. They have had to fight the Cooper Gang, an organization determined to keep them from finding Archer every step of the way. The gang's newest atrocity was the murder of Jake Sims, a native of Port Forest, whom the three comrades believed was Archer's contact with the outside world. At the moment, the trio are in the dead man's cabin.
Well, there ain't anybody ever going to be deader than Jake Sims is right now.
You know, it's interesting, too. He hasn't been dead over 15 or 20 minutes.
I say. Yeah, looky, that window's open over yonder. The killer might have climbed out of the window and beat it for the woods and back as we was a-coming up the path from town.
He was the man who bought supplies and delivered them to wherever Alexander Archer is hiding. As long as he was alive, Archer was in danger of being exposed.
Yeah, and Jake here was double dangerous after what Bull McGinnis told us down at the store.
I say, you mean someone of Cooper's gang overheard?
Yeah, ain't that the way you figure it, Jack?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
But look here, that means that we're being watched.
Not a doubt in the world of it.
Queer we haven't been aware of it.
Yeah, what about that, Jack? Usually one of us spots a tail 2 minutes after he's on us.
Oh, we're out of our environment. Our senses are tuned to city life. They don't know how to react up here in the wide open spaces.
You think that's it, sure enough?
Well, we certainly missed fire this time. Something's the matter.
Doggone. And just because we wasn't on our toes, Jake Sims is a dead Indian.
There's no use staying here any longer.
Yeah. Reckon we ought to go down and report this dead body? Wonder if they got a police department up here.
We've got something more important to do than report dead men.
Huh? Such as what?
Didn't Bull McGinnis say Cooper and his gang were staying at the King Charles Hotel?
Yeah, passing themselves off as a troupe of actors.
Well, then the King Charles Hotel is our next stop.
But aren't we going to report the body?
What's the hurry?
But looky, fella, if somebody else discovers Jake here and reports it, and then Bull McGinnis remembers we was on our way up here the last he saw of us, ain't that gonna put us in one sweet spot?
Quite. I don't like it.
Oh, you didn't worry about the body, gentlemen?
I say.
Hey, Jack, it's Cooper.
Don't move, gentlemen, or one of you may find yourselves in the same unfortunate state as Jake Sims.
Pointing a gun at us through the window. Is that any way for a nice old man to act? Now, I ask you, fella.
I hope you'll all use good judgment, because my age hasn't anything to do with my shooting ability.
All right, Cooper, what do you want?
Just stand quietly as you are, while Frankie takes care of you.
What you mean, takes care of us?
Frankie, show them what I mean.
Yeah, you want me to go in through the window?
No, you might get into my range of fire. Go around by the door.
Yeah, sure.
Now, ain't this a nice mess of potatoes?
This is all pretty silly, Cooper.
Oh, you think so?
Certainly. We're within 100 yards of the main street of Port Forest. It's broad daylight. What do you think you're going to gain by this sort of gunplay?
All right, Frankie. Go to work.
Yeah, you bet.
If any fuss starts, drop to the floor so I won't hit you when I open fire.
Sure. All right, you. Put your hands behind you.
What about it, Jack?
You better do as he says.
Good common sense, Packard.
I say, Jack, he put handcuffs on me.
Hey, Jack, are we just going to stand here and take this?
Can you think of anything better to do at the moment?
Yeah, this mug's not carrying a rod.
All right. Take the next one.
Come on, you. Put your hands behind you.
Hey, Jack.
Do as he says, Doc.
Well, darn it anyway.
Come on, come on. You're wasting time.
Ooh, all right. But I warn you, fella, don't you ever let me catch you down a dark alley at night. Handcuffs. Now we can't fight, Jack.
Just as well at the moment.
No rod on this bozo either.
Well, you see, Frankie, you boys insisted that these three were hard to handle. They're not only agreeable to get along with, but quite friendly about it.
I ain't either friendly, Dad Burnett. I'm meaner than a he-mule in fly time.
All right, Packard. Your turn. Hands behind you.
Why not?
Letting a pack of murderers truss us up like a passel of chickens without making a fight? What's eating you, Jack, anyway?
I just don't happen to like Cooper's gun.
Packard, I must congratulate you on your high type of intelligence.
No gun on him, either.
All right. Take that rope and tie their feet so that they can walk decently but can't run.
Hey, the least you could do if we're going to be your prisoners is to carry us.
No, I'm afraid you'll have to do your own walking. After all, I'm quite an old man.
Dern if you ain't. Just a dirty old man.
I beg your pardon. I am immaculate.
Okay, have it your way. An immaculate, dirty old man.
Does this red-headed young man talk all the time?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
And doesn't he ever say anything?
Hey, what you mean, don't I ever say anything?
No, I'm afraid Doc just likes to talk to hear his brains rattle.
Well, that's a nice thing to say about a fella to his face.
That's unfortunate. I detest useless conversation. Unless he can restrain himself, it may be necessary to use a gag.
All right, all right. If nobody likes the sound of my voice...
Not too tight with those ropes, Frank. Give them a chance for a long, easy stride.
Yeah, but then they can run.
Did you ever see anyone try to run with ropes tied to their feet? Personally, Packard, you're more my type.
Thanks for nothing.
Oh, here, come now. I've been looking forward to some delightful conversation with you.
On what subject?
Well, personally, I like books, and I'm very fond of psychology.
I say, an intellectual murderer.
Oh, very unfortunate appellation, young man. Very unfortunate.
Truest thing that's been said up to now. Doggone murderer.
Frank.
Yeah?
When you've finished with those ropes, put a gag in that man's mouth.
Hey, look now.
That's your reward for talking out of turn.
Well, blame it all, he is a murderer, and there's the body laying right there to prove it.
As I was saying, I'm very fond of psychology, but my real hobby is medicine.
Oh, it's interesting.
Yes. My reports on you, Packard, tell me that you studied medicine at one time.
I never finished.
Oh, yes, 3 years, yes. I'm going to be very interested in hearing why you gave it up.
Well, if you got such a thorough report on my past, you should know why.
No, I'm afraid it doesn't tell me that.
All right. Their feet's done. This the guy you want gagged?
Oh, yes, that's the one.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Hold still. I want Dad blame your honored loadout.
Come on. You might as well give up, Doc. You're not the least bit intelligible.
There. Hell, that'll take care of him.
All right. Herd them out the door and around here to me. Better keep your gun on them.
Sure. Come on. Come on. You heard what he said. Round to the side of the cabin, will you?
I say, Jack, bit on the idea of a chain gang.
Keep going and no talking.
All right, all right. I'll hold them here, Frankie. Go get the body.
Yeah. I'll tie it up in a gunny sack.
We're taking the body with us?
Oh, yes, of course. If we left it behind, someone might think you boys had killed him.
I should think that would be what you'd want.
Oh, no. Then the police would be hunting you. Let's keep the police out of this as much as possible.
Suits us.
I say, you're taking this all very calmly.
Oh, not the least danger. I've studied the habits of the natives pretty thoroughly. The only ones about at this time of the day are the mill workers, and they're all at work. Oh, don't dally in there, Frankie.
Coming right along. You can get them started towards the woods if you want to.
All right, boys. We'll be moving along then.
You're leading the way?
Now I think it's safer if I follow. You see that scarred pine to the north?
Yes.
Head for that.
All right.
Mark you, I don't want to shoot if I don't have to, so don't give me any trouble.
I say, looks a bit of rough going.
Oh, yes, you'll have to break through the undergrowth. It gets better shortly.
Yeah, well, it's bad with our hands handcuffed behind us.
You can make it.
Righto.
If the ropes on your feet get tangled in the brush, just stand still until Frankie or I can free you.
I say, Jack, bit of a go. What? Kidnapped in broad daylight?
Don't be misguided by what Cooper says. Be careful. He's dangerous.
Quite. What do you suppose he has in store for us?
I don't know. But I'll bet it isn't sitting in front of a fire discussing books and philosophy.
Too bad you're gagged, Doc. Oh, I say.
What's the matter?
Doc's hobble rope caught on a root, and he pitched headfirst into a bush.
Well, now, we'll take care of that. Up on your feet. Now you're all right.
No, Doc will never be all right as long as he's got a gag in his mouth. And that fall didn't help his temper any.
Yes, he does look a bit indignant.
Indignant? The things that Texan's got stored up in his mind would inspire a mule driver.
You're wasting time. Move along.
We're at the edge of the timber. Which way do I go now?
Frankie, take the lead.
Yeah. You mugs, follow me along here.
The going's easier from now on. It isn't far.
Isn't far to where?
My boy, the impatient man wastes the golden present in his eagerness for the counterfeit future.
I say.
You're alive and well at the moment. Let that suffice.
That's pretty uncomfortable philosophy for three men with their hands and feet tied and headed for uncertainty.
I'd like to discuss that with you at a later time. The philosophy of living each moment to the fullest without consideration of the next. But just now, I think we're coming to the horses.
Horses?
Oh, yes. Frankie, tie that corpse on the bay mare.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to do.
Yes, she's become resigned to carrying gruesome cargoes.
You expect us to mount these horses?
I'm afraid you'll have to.
That must mean we've got quite a trip ahead of us.
Not far. That is, not too far for comfort.
Yeah, there. That'll take care of the body.
All right, Frankie. Lead the roan up beside this stump for our red-headed friend.
I say, I was wondering how we were going to mount with our hands behind us.
Come on, boy.
Come
on. Whoa.
Up on the stump, will you? You young man who talks too much.
I say, that's rubbing it in.
Frankie, untie the rope on his feet and then retie it under the horse's belly when he's on.
Yeah. All right, Texas, hop on.
Cooper, you don't really expect to get away with this, do you?
Oh, that isn't a very intelligent question, Packard. I'm surprised at you.
Look, we were sent up here on a mission. The minute we disappear, the people who are backing us will have the state police and federal department down on you like a ton of bricks.
Well, you talk in a way that makes me realize you don't know all the facts in this case. Your turn up on the stump, Packard.
Oh.
There you go.
I'm certainly not dressed for horseback riding.
Oh, you'll do.
What do you mean, I don't know all the facts in the case?
Untie his feet, Frankie.
Yeah.
You came up here into these woods to find Alexander Archer.
That's right.
Hired by an insurance company.
Yes.
Yeah, get on the horse.
It's awkward. I made it. Go on, Cooper. We were hired by an insurance company.
Did the insurance company tell you they'd sent other men out to find Alexander Archer?
Oh, look here.
Did the insurance company tell you that some of those other investigators disappeared?
What are you implying?
Did they tell you that there's been a great deal of secret to do in official circles about these men who have never returned and that nothing has come of it?
All right, York. Your turn. Up on the stump with you.
Quite. I say, Cooper, are you telling us that we're about to disappear, never to be heard of again?
Oh, there's that possibility, of course.
You must be crazy. We've left a trail behind us broad enough for a village constable to follow.
Yes, officials have followed all those who have come before you as far as Port Forest. But then somehow the trail comes to an end.
Oh, I say.
Yes. At this point, the men sent out by the insurance company seem to vanish in thin air.
Oh, beautiful thought.
Are we ready, Frankie?
Yeah. All set.
Up on your horse, then. We'll take the underground passage.
Adventures of Jack, Doc, and Reggie have come to you in I Love a Mystery. Created and written by Carlton E. Morse. Script copyrighted by Morsel Co. Incorporated. Produced and directed by story editor Jim Harmon. Featuring Les Tremaine as Jack Packard and Tony Clay as Doc Long. Consultants Frank Brzee and David Lloyd. Your announcer, Fred Foy. This presentation has come from Hollywood. I Love a Mystery. A Carlton E. Morse audio novel featuring Jack, Doc, and Reggie, specialists in crime and adventure. Now following the Northwest Trail of a missing millionaire, a killer cougar, and the Phantom Castle. This is Fred Foy introducing Jim Harmon's presentation of Les Tremaine and Tony Clay in an original Carlton Morse thriller, The Fear That Creeps Like a Cat. O'clock in the afternoon, somewhere high on a ragged mountain ledge, somewhere near the Canadian border. Jack, Doc, and Reggie are in the Pacific Northwest in search of Alexander Archer, declared to be dead by his estate, but believed to be alive by the insurance company who holds a $1 million policy on his life. Every inch of the three comrades' manhunt has been opposed by a well-organized outfit come to be known as the Cooper Gang. This morning, in the isolated little mill town of Port Forest, they thought they had found a clue to Archer in the person of Jake Sims. But when they got to Sims' cabin, he was dead. Murdered. Right on top of this, Cooper and one of his gang appeared and at gunpoint tied them up and loaded them on horses. That was at 7 o'clock this morning. Now at 4 in the afternoon... they're riding on a high, rocky ledge so narrow the horses must go single file.
I say, Jack.
Yes?
I feel very sorry for Doc.
Well, I've asked Cooper twice to take the gag up. He refuses.
Bloody swine.
You'd better sit still in your saddle. This ledge is too narrow for comfort.
Quite. Doc's horse up ahead stumbled a minute ago.
Oh? Well, if one of us goes over, we all go. We're all tied together.
Quite.
It's
Jove, this is beautiful country, though.
Yeah, I'll take my sightseeing in a different form. My arms have been bound behind me so long, all the feeling's gone.
I know. Wonder how much farther they're taking us.
You got me.
I say, the ledge narrows up ahead.
Narrower than this?
Well, quite.
Well, hold your breath. It's 1,000 feet straight down if it's an inch.
Here we go. Hang on.
Get up. Get up. Get up there.
Jack. Jack, are you all right?
Yeah, I made it. Is my hair white?
Scared the wits out of me. When I heard your horse scrambling, I thought you'd gone over.
No, so did I. Maybe somebody likes this mountain goat stuff. I don't.
Call back of you and ask Cooper how much more there is of this.
Probably won't do any good. Hey, Cooper!
Yes?
I suppose you know kidnapping's a hanging offense.
My, aren't you informative.
How much farther are we going?
The worst is over. We drop down into a little valley just ahead. Then you'll get the surprise of your life.
Well, that doesn't sound very encouraging.
Oh, you needn't worry about it. Nothing's going to happen to you yet.
Not yet, huh?
No. I have taken quite a liking to you.
One of those beautiful friendships, huh?
Jack, the ledge is widening. We're going down into a tiny canyon.
Well, that's something. I'm getting tired of this eagle's nest department. Cooper says we've got a surprise in store for us.
Something gory?
No. He says not to worry. Here. This path's taking on the elements of a shoot-the-shoot.
Bit on the steep side, all right. Steady, boy.
I hope the brakes on my horse are good, or I'll run you down.
Well, these horses are used to this trial. Just let them alone. They'll take care of you.
That's all right. But with our hands tied behind us, I'm having something of a problem keeping my seat.
Well, endeavor not to fall off, if you know what's good for you.
Oh, thanks for the warning.
Now we're down. Yes, it's an easy path to the other side of the canyon.
Well, look, how about calling up ahead to your old pal Frank and having him pull up for a bit?
What for?
Well, among other things, how about taking Doc's gag off? He's had it on all day, and that's pretty brutal.
I'm sorry. He brought it on himself.
Then you might be a little humane.
It's all part of the game, you know.
But it's so unnecessarily cruel. He can't do any harm with his voice here.
He talks too much.
I shouldn't expect anything more from you, I suppose.
I suppose not.
Jack, we're coming to a river.
Yes, I hear it. Cooper.
Yes?
I suppose you know your gang murdered that body Frank's got on the pack horse up ahead.
What are you so high and mighty about? What about the three men you killed in that launch out in Puget Sound?
Oh, come on, you're crazy. The launch was run down by a freighter. We had all we could do saving ourselves.
In the vernacular, tell it to the Marines.
I say, Jack, Frank's pulling up.
Well, apparently we are going to get a rest after all.
Oh, boy. Hey, you ready, Frank?
And this is where you said to get rid of the body, Mr. Cooper?
Oh, yes. In the river.
Yeah.
Well, hurry up. We need to be at the cabin by 4:30. It's almost that now.
Yeah. It won't take me but a minute to get these ropes off.
Say, where does that river go?
It goes underground about a mile down the canyon.
Doesn't it come out again?
If it does, nobody knows where. I don't care to watch. Linda Joyce will guide you now.
Yeah, there. I'll be with you in just a minute. And that's that.
And that's the end of Jake Sims.
Yeah, just like he ain't never been. Look at you guys. We go into a cave up ahead.
Cave?
Yeah, that's what I said. I'll have a light up ahead, but it won't do you guys much good. Bend down over your horse's necks, or you're liable to get your head bumped.
A cave. So that's what Cooper meant about the underground passage.
Yeah, never mind about that. Now, just listen to what I'm saying. Do what I tell you to, because when we first go in, we follow along the river. And she makes so much noise, you won't be able to hear yourselves think.
Just bend over in the saddle, and the horses will do the rest.
Yeah, that's right. Here comes Miss Joyce. Miss Joyce, I'll keep watching back as we go into the cave. If anything goes wrong, you signal me with your light. So let's go.
Here we go into the cave. No use trying to talk anymore.
Are we through with the river, Linda?
Yes. It goes off into the right.
What happens when we get through the cave?
There's a cabin on the other side where we'll spend the night.
You mean we've got more horseback riding to do tomorrow?
Of course.
Oh, that's great. I'm stuck to the saddle right now.
Yes. Riding's bad if you're not used to it.
Great little comforter.
You boys might be interested to know that when you come out of the mouth of the cave up there, we'll be out of the United States and into Canada.
So that's what this is.
What do you mean?
This trail we've been following. A smuggler's underground system.
Gone?
Well, he's surrounded by crags. 2,000 or 3,000 feet straight up.
I thought you boys would like it. Canadian Rockies. They have a reputation, you know. See that smoke down there? That's our cabin.
Well, that looks better to me than all the Rocky Mountains in Canada.
How fresh are you for tomorrow?
Hey, Miss Joyce.
Yes, Frank.
Now, where does Mr. Cooper want us to dump this cargo?
Take them right up in front of the main cabin. Well, here we are.
Shall I dump them off?
Yes, untie their feet. You'll probably have to help them down.
Let them help themselves. All right, you. Down with you.
Oh, look here. You can't do that.
Yeah, I can.
Here, there's no use in that sort of thing. Doc's bound and gagged. There's such a thing as decency.
Yanking him off and letting him fall?
Yeah, and your neck.
Here, what are you doing?
Come on.
Great guy, aren't you?
Jack, I say, I can't begin to stand. No feeling at all in my legs.
Hey, your neck.
Sally Brute.
I'll remember that, Frankie, my boy.
I'll take the horses down to the stable, Miss Joyce. Can you see about these mugs?
All right. They don't any of them seem to be able to stand.
Okay. Somebody will be out to give you a hand, I reckon. come on, you. Come on. Hit for the barn.
None of you is hurt, is he?
Well, we're certainly not in the pink of condition.
You'll get over it. Line your backs and kick your feet like you're riding a bicycle. That'll bring back the circulation.
Oh, that's going to be a wonderful feeling.
See here, will you please take that gag out of Doc's mouth?
No.
And you call yourself a woman.
Oh, stop crying. I thought you three were supposed to be tough guys.
Is that brute tied up?
Yes. That's why he's howling. He's only allowed loose when Mr. Cooper's around.
You still haven't told us what became of Cooper.
Oh, he'll be along.
But look here. Are we just going to lie here? What happens now?
I'll take you inside as soon as you're able to stand.
Oh, I say.
Circulation's coming back, Reggie.
Quite. Better off the way I was.
I'm beginning to have the same opinion.
Well, you better come along before you get too frisky.
But I don't think I can stand.
Oh, yes, you can. Come on. Get up.
Jove, I say.
Feels like I was walking on stilts with slivers in it.
Righto. Good boy, Doc.
Come on.
Hello. What's in that enclosure over there?
Mountain lions.
Mountain lions?
Yes, some more of Mr. Cooper's pets.
Pets, huh?
Sort of.
But what does a blighter like Cooper want with mountain lions?
That you'll probably find out for yourselves before Richard Cooper is through with you.
The adventures of Jack, Doc, and Reggie have come to you in I Love a Mystery. Created and written by Carlton E. Morse. Scripts copyrighted by Morsel Co. Incorporated. Produced and directed by story editor Jim Harmon. Featuring Les Tremaine as Jack Packard and Tony Clay as Doc Long. Consultants Frank Brzee and David Lloyd. Your announcer, Fred Foy. This presentation has come from Hollywood.
Complete your roofing project now and save big at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements. Owens Corning shingles are the number one brand trusted by contractors. Choose from over 40 options and get a limited lifetime warranty and up to 130 miles per hour wind warranty. Save big on Owens Corning shingles. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.